turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read a short passage here. And there's a phrase in here that I want to preach on tonight, this morning, excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking at, starting with verse 53. I'll wait till you get there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. The Bible says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Young people, that's talking about our body. This corruptible body must put on incorruption one day, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The phrase I want to look at is found in verse 57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The sermon this morning is Jesus Christ has given us the victory over sin. Jesus Christ has given us the victory over sin. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the message. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for what you did on the cross for us. Thank you for redeeming us and purchasing our salvation, our redemption. Thank you for redeeming us back to God. And Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the victory over our sin nature. Thank you for taking the victory over the devil and taking the keys of hell and of death when you resurrected. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your blessings that you have given to us. Father, I pray that you'd help me as I preach this message, Lord, that you would give me the words to say. Lord, that it would be clear to everyone here today, the adults and also the young people. Father, I pray that we would understand that we already have the victory over our sin nature. We don't have to obey our sin nature anymore. Please bless this message, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, before salvation, our sin nature was our master. Before we got saved, our sin nature was our master. A good illustration of the sin nature is in the Old Testament, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He's an illustration of our sin nature. You see, our sin nature had authority over us. And remember, if you would, a while back I preached a message on authority and I explained that authority always means power. It means power. Our sin nature had power over us. Our sin nature had rulership over us. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had rulership over the children of Israel. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Our sin nature ruled over us before we were saved. Romans 5:21, the Bible says, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." We see in this verse that sin had reigned over us. Sin hath reigned unto death. It's a past tense there, by the way. It's done. Our sin nature ruled over us, just as Pharaoh ruled over the children of Israel. You don't have to turn to this page, but in 2 Peter 2:19 says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Our sin nature had overcome us. Our sin nature had brought us into bondage. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had overcome the children of Israel. He had taken away any of their defenses. He had overcome them. He had brought the children of Israel into bondage. Pharaoh ruled and reigned over the children of Israel. He was their master. And our sin nature, before we got saved, was also our master. It ruled and reigned over us. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was strong. He was powerful. He was well-armed, if you would. His army was well-armed. He had chariots that could take out the children of Israel. Weapons represent power and authority. Romans 6:23, the Bible says that our sin nature was well-armed. For the wages of sin is death. It was well-armed. We could not defeat our sin nature. We were condemned to die. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, we know. Pharaoh was well-armed. The children of Israel, in their own strength, there was no way for them to defeat Pharaoh. He had all the chariots. He had all the weapons. They were in bondage. And before we got saved, there was no way for us to defeat our sin nature. It had the weapons. We had none. We could not defeat our sin nature. It was powerful. Romans 7:11 says, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." It had the power over us. It destroyed our lives. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Not only did it have authority, rulership over us, not only was it strong, powerful, and well-armed, we were its slaves. We were the slaves to sin. John chapter 8, looking at verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." We had committed sin. We were servants to sin. Also, Romans 7:14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." I was sold to sin. I was its servant. You and I, before we were saved, were the slaves of sin, just as the children of Israel were slaves to Pharaoh. Pharaoh represents our sin nature. And I've already said this, it was undefeatable. Pharaoh was undefeatable by the children of Israel in their own strength. Our slavery to sin and the power of sin is an unbeatable combination in our own strength. Before we got saved, there was no way we could burst our bonds of slavery. We could not overcome the power of sin. Reuben, can I get you to help me for a second? I need a volunteer. All right, Reuben, you're going to represent a lost man, okay? You are not saved yet. And I'm going to represent your sin nature. So stick both hands into that loop. And we're going to pretend that you cannot get out of that, okay? All right? Now, Reuben is in bondage. He's tied up. He cannot get away. I am his sin nature. You'll notice that I am bigger and stronger than Reuben. Reuben, can you pull away from me? Nope. I don't think you can. Now, I didn't want to show this until I had my volunteer all tied up. But I, as his sin nature, also am well-armed. I couldn't find a machete. That was going to be my sword. So I found a battle axe, all right? All right, I am well-armed. Reuben's sin is going to cause him to die one day. All right, he cannot defeat me in his own strength. Now, Reuben, let's see how good you obey. I want you to come over here, all right? See, Reuben cannot beat me. He does what his sin nature wants him to do. The lost man will do what his sin nature wants him to do. He's not going to beat his sin nature. It's got all the power right here. It's got all the chains. Reuben cannot defeat me, his sin nature. Thank you, Reuben. All right? You can go sit down. Thank you very much. You were a good illustration. Let's see here. I'm going to put this right there. And we could not defeat our sin nature in our own strength. We were its slaves. We were in bondage to sin. But at salvation, we received a new master. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And looking at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Not Romans 8:34. I looked at John 8:34. Romans 8, verses 2 and 3. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ on the cross defeated sin. He defeated the devil. And by the way, when we talk about our sin nature being our master, it's kind of synonymous with the devil being our master, okay? The devil is the father of lies, the Bible says. You could say that the devil is the father of sin. And so the devil instigates our sin nature. The devil has some influence on our sin nature, meaning that we were slaves to the devil. We were slaves to the devil and slaves to sin. But when we got saved, Jesus Christ gave us victory over our sin. He gave us victory over the devil. When Jesus Christ saved us, our sin nature, me, have the weapons. He had the authority to condemn us to death. But when Jesus Christ saved you and I, he took his authority away. He took his weapons away. No longer does sin have the authority to condemn us to death, the second death. Okay? Jesus Christ took the power, the weapon, away from sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans 6, 6. Not only did Jesus take away our sin nature's power, but Jesus Christ did something else to our sin nature. Romans 6, 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Jesus Christ, when he saved us, he took away sin's power, but he did something else to our sin nature. He crucified our sin nature on his cross. Our sin nature is now hanging on Christ's cross. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 24. The Bible says, and they that are Christ's, meaning they who have believed in Jesus and have gotten saved, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Our sin nature is hanging on Christ's cross. His power has been taken away. His authority has been taken away. He can do nothing to make us sin any longer. Where'd that rope go? He no longer can pull us around where he wants us to go. He cannot move. He's crucified. He's helpless himself. He's totally powerless and completely helpless. But Jesus not only took away his power, not only did he crucify our sin nature, he didn't stop there. He took away the power and authority of our sin nature, his weapons, and then he gave us new and better weapons. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So the Lord Jesus took away Satan's weapon, took away our sin nature's weapon, crucified our flesh, and then he gave us all of these weapons. He gave us the belt of truth, the belt of truth. The belt of truth holds everything in place. We need to have a truthful tongue. Imagine a Christian without a truthful tongue. He doesn't look much like a Christian then, does he? If we do not have the belt of truth, everything is out of place. Our breeches are hanging down wrong. Our sword that's hanging from our belt is cockeyed. It's hanging down too low. A Christian who does not have this belt of truth has everything out of place. He doesn't look like a Christian. We need to put on this belt of truth. We have been given the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness protects our heart. Our heart. Jesus wants your heart to belong solely to him. He does not want us to give our heart to someone else. The Bible says that our God is a jealous God. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are not to give our love to another. Jesus Christ wants us to protect our heart. He wants us to put on that breastplate of righteousness. Some Christians have given their heart away to something in the world, and they have left their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave us that breastplate to protect from that, the breastplate of righteousness. And we are given the shoes of the gospel of peace. In other words, everywhere we go, everywhere we walk, we are to take the gospel with us, right? We are to be a light in a dying world. And he gave us the shield of faith. The Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Bible says. We had better take the shield of faith everywhere we go. Without the shield of faith, we're going to have little protection from Satan's attacks. The shield of faith can protect every part of our body. We are to take the shield of faith with us. And we are to take the helmet of salvation. God has given us the helmet of salvation to protect our mind and soul. Salvation protects our mind and soul. You are not protected without salvation. And the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. It is our most powerful weapon. The Word of God is the main way that God talks to us. And he talks to us also through preaching and reading our Bible. We must be reading our Bible. Reading what God has said to us, studying it, memorizing it, so that we are ready to use it against the devil. Why do we have memory verses? It is so that we put God's word in our heart and mind so that we can use it to defeat Satan when Satan attacks us. And also, of course, to share the gospel, to share the verses that tell about the gospel. We are to, when Satan attacks us, we should quote scripture to the devil. The devil hates the Word of God. He cannot stand against the Word of God. Use the Scripture, the sword of the Spirit, to defeat Satan. It's our main weapon. And by the way, when Satan attacks you, you cannot quote Scripture in your mind, young people. Satan doesn't read your mind. Satan doesn't know what you are thinking. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. So he does not know what you are thinking. He only knows what you say to him. So quoting scripture in your mind does not cut it. He doesn't hear it. You need to quote scripture aloud. Quote scripture aloud to defeat the devil. And lastly, God has given us the watchtower of prayer. And prayer, by the way, is our second most powerful weapon. This is how we talk to God and request his protection and intervention on our behalf. We are to be defending ourselves before God in prayer, and we are to be defending our brethren in our churches and those that we know in prayer. You see, Jesus took away the weapon that sin had, the devil had, and then he gave us all the weapons. He gave us, believers, all the weapons. Our sin nature is hanging on a cross, crucified, helpless, unable to move, and we hold all the weapons, and they're way better than the weapon he had. We hold all the weapons now. Sin does not have any power or authority over a Christian. God has given you the power and authority over sin. After all that Jesus did for us, he took away sin's power. He crucified sin on his cross. He gave us all of the weapons. But Jesus gave us still more, one more precious gift. Turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Jesus Christ gave us all the weapons, and then he also gave us his own Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Turn to 1 John 4:15. 1 John 4:15. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." The Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, dwells within you and I. We have God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us now. Before the cross, this did not happen. Old Testament saints did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Now, the Holy Spirit came upon people for certain periods of time, but no one in the Old Testament ever had the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them. This is New Testament Bible. This is something that never happened before Jesus Christ died on the cross, something that never happened before Jesus sent his Comforter into the world. We have something that no other Christian in the Old Testament had before. God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us, leading us, guiding us, convicting us of sin, showing us what we ought to be doing, showing us where we need to change our lives to be in accordance with His Word. Jesus has done all of this for us because of His victory on the cross. The Bible says our salvation, our redemption, is such a wonderful redemption that even the angels of God would like to figure it out, look into it, and understand it. The angels of God don't even understand it. They have never experienced it. They can't comprehend how wonderful it is. By the way, that verse is in 1 Peter 1:11 and 12, if you want to look that up. The angels of God desire to look into it. Our salvation, our redemption is so complete that there is nothing our sin nature can do to force us to sin anymore. But our sin nature is still alive. He's hanging on Christ's cross. He's helpless, but he is alive. Now, he is dying for sure. One day when we get to heaven, our sin nature will be dead. But until then, our sin nature is still alive. He's hanging on the cross. He can't do anything except one thing. He can still talk. He doesn't have any movement left to him except for his mouth. He can still talk to you and I. Our sin nature talks to us. Our sin nature can still be convincing. "Well, that sure looks fun over there. Let's go do that. Hey, everybody's doing it. Nobody's going to condemn you for it. The whole world does it." He can be very convincing. He can still talk and convince us into sin. Turn to Romans 6 again. Romans 6, verse 16. Romans 6:16. The Bible says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield?" Notice that word yield. Before we were saved, we were the slaves. We had to obey. Now that we are saved, the Bible says, when you sin, it is not that you were forced to, it is that you yielded. You yielded to sin. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." We can be convinced by our sin nature still. We can yield to our sin nature and be obedient to what he wants us to do still. And when we do that, we are taking our weapons, laying them aside, and picking up his old weapon and giving them back to him. We are rearming our sin nature. Not only that, but we're bringing him medication and sustenance while he's hanging there on the cross to revive him and keep him alive and give him better strength to destroy us. We are giving his weapons back, his power, his authority over us. We again become sin's servants. We start serving our old master, our sin nature, once again. We start treating his wounds. We start bringing him food and water. We start strengthening our sin nature again. Some Christians think that they can handle one little sin in their life. Well, it's just a little sin. I can handle this sin. I can control it, in other words. I can handle this. God said in his word right here that if you yield to a sin, you are obeying sin, and sin therefore becomes your master. Young people, no servant controls their master. No Christian can control sin because sin is their master when they obey it. No Christian, no Christian can handle any sin. Sin will handle you. Sin will control you. Don't fall to the Satan's lie that I can handle it. No, you can't. It will be, the Bible promises, it will be your master. It will control your life. Sin always destroys life. We know that there are pleasures of sin for a season. Well, it looks fun, it looks good. There are consequences. There are always consequences for sin. Sin, the Bible says, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Death is the consequence every time. There's an old saying, sin will take you further than you want to go, will keep you longer than you want to stay, and will cost you more than you were willing to pay. It will destroy you if you yield to sin. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have to yield. Our sin nature is hanging helpless on a cross. We have all the weapons. He is powerless. We can defeat sin, our sin nature. We do not have to yield. Jesus Christ has given us all of what we need, all the strength that we need to conquer our own sin nature. Turn to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5. James 4:7, don't turn there, but James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Remember that when talking about our sin nature, the devil is involved, is the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world. He is the father of all lies. He, in essence, is the father of sin. When we talk about defeating our sin nature, we're talking also about defeating the devil in our lives. So when if we resist the devil, we are also resisting our sin nature. We are also resisting our sin nature. The Bible says, resist the devil. Resist your sin nature. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We are to resist the devil. Notice that the devil here is described as a roaring lion who is hunting prey. Now, some of you know the illustration already, but some of you may not. What lion who is hunting prey for real, who is serious about taking down prey, goes around roaring? Lions don't roar to catch prey. They are ambush attackers. They sneak up on prey. They hide in the grass and they creep up as close as they can to their prey, and then they jump and start running after it. They do not roar when they are hunting. But the Bible says the devil is going around roaring, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, the devil's power has been taken away. He is no longer a young lion. No longer a young lion with the strength to take down the prey. He's an old mangy lion. Toothless, if you will. He doesn't have the strength anymore to run after the prey. His power was defeated and taken away at the cross. But he is roaring. Why? He wants to devour men. He wants to destroy men's souls. He is roaring to scare you and I, to cause us to turn tail and run away from him. Because as we run, we are going to fall into the hands of the young lions who are out there in front of the old mangy lion, the devil, and waiting in ambush. The young lions of the sin of this world. If we turn tail to the devil and flee from the devil, it's very, very likely that we will fall prey to some sin, to a young lion. Going back to the weapons that God has given to us, he gave us the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel, and prayer. All of those, for the most part, you know, the belt goes all the way around, but all of those protect what side of us? Our front side. We can't turn the shield back here and be very effective in the back. The breastplate is on our front, not on our back. God gave us all the protection to resist, stand ground, and resist the devil. He did not intend for us to turn our back and run away from the devil. Our back is still open to attack. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do not turn tail and run from the devil. Do not show him your back. Your back is vulnerable. There is no protection on your back. The devil, our sin nature, these have no power over us any longer. Their only hope is for you to yield. For you to say, oh, I'm going to have to run. I'm going to have to obey. No, you don't. You only fall prey to them when you yield. Once you do yield to sin, to the devil, you have given a place of authority in your life to the devil. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, one final verse. Ephesians chapter 4. If we yield to sin, we become sin's servant again, and we also give a place of authority, a place of power, a place of rulership to Satan in our life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil, which means we can give a place to the devil in our lives. God's word says, don't give him any place in your life. When we yield to sin, we give the devil a place. We give the devil a spot in our life, a place of rulership, and he will begin to take more and more ground. We will fall prey to more and more sin. We will become Satan's servant. We will have put down our weapons, and we will have given his weapons right back to him. He will have authority, power, rulership once again in our life. Do not give him a place. Resist sin. Excuse me. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a promise of God. He says, I've given you everything that you need to defeat sin and the devil. I've taken away your sin nature's power. I've taken away the devil's power over your life. I have crucified your flesh. I have taken away everything that they had. And I have given you all the weapons. And I have given you my own Holy Spirit, God says. I have given you everything you need to defeat your sin nature. You do not have to obey your sin nature anymore. Do not yield. That is the only way they can win. By us saying, okay, I will obey. I don't have to obey. There's no reason in the world for me to obey. But I will. That's yielding. Do not yield. Do not give Satan a place. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that we do not have to obey the devil. We do not have to obey our sin nature any longer. Thank you for defeating our sin nature. Thank you for crucifying him on your cross and giving us all the power, all the weapons, all the authority over our sin nature. Lord Jesus, if there's one here today that does not know you as their Savior, has never accepted you, Lord, who is still in bondage to their sin, to the devil, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would convict them of their sin, that they would repent and turn to you today. Father, if there's a Christian here today that has given a place to Satan, a place to sin, has yielded to a sin in their life, Lord Jesus, I pray that they would see that they have been given the authority to defeat their sin. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give each one of us the courage and the boldness to obey you, and to not give a place to the devil. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please.